Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith. Get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. We're going to have a show today cussing and discussing the material of Dr. John J. Harper. Forgive the cussing part. I'm a little disappointed we weren't able to have him on two weeks ago, the last show. At the last minute, we found out that there was a backhoe going around his house days earlier, and it had cut into his cable, his phone cable, and he wasn't able to make it. So we were going to have him on again today, and he had at the last minute, he had to leave town on business. So we're going to discuss his book and the Core Materialist book. It's too important not to. I've really been wanting to, and I've delved into it more since the last show. We've got some great quotes from his book and some material from an article that I've made available that he said we could make available to listeners. And that article is linked at the bottom. It's in my new articles at the bottom of the Cosmic Love webpage. You've got School Starts with All Thy Learning, Get Wisdom. And in there are quite a few quotes from this article. And you can link to that article and read it. And we're going to be discussing that. We're going to open it up also to questions. You can call in toll-free at 877-876-5227. That's, if you want to make a note of that, it's 877-876-5227. And there's a direct line also, 533-876-3222. I believe those numbers are listed on the BBS radio homepage. And if you would, we're going to try and keep this on topic with the material from this book. I've got quite a few questions for the show that I've asked in a dialogue way to John Harper that you can read those. They're posted right there at the top with the link on the Cosmic Love webpage for BBS Radio. If you can open up another window in your browser while you're listening to the show, you can click on that link, and it has more great quotes from his book, Transformation, Shamans of the 21st Century. And the reason I think this work is so important is because Dr. Harper has spent many years finding, you might say, the shamans of the 21st century, the leading luminary light bearers, light workers, writers and authors who have really been the way showers on the future we would create. And as I mentioned, the best way to predict the future is to create it, and as we are all co-creators in this net reality that is connecting as never before on the internet, this is an extraordinary opportunity to tune into some of the keynote quotes, concepts of the shamans of the 21st century that he goes into in his book. And it's just extraordinarily rich material for tuning into the big shift that's in process in the collective consciousness of humanity. Now, this revolution in higher consciousness has been a favorite subject of mine for years, and I've tuned into a lot of his keynotes, and a lot of those keynotes he has from his book and from that article he's referenced are really the defining shift components, or you might say the shift dimensions that's going on, and it's largely dealing with the understanding of consciousness itself, the processes of consciousness, the learning process, the creative process, and how we're co-creators on Earth's holodeck, you might say, which is in fact the holographic computer mind of God, as I refer to it, in terms of the geometrically ordered divinity of the fractal nature of the universe. And he, Dr. Harper, in his book Transformers, and that's Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century, references this understanding of the collective dream or trance that humanity is in. And this, and it's how it's the trance formation or the dream formation, the future that we are creating, how it is evolving. And it's evolving as a function of the language of consciousness itself. So this subject It's something I discuss in my book at length with the Emerging Blueprint for a Golden Age, which is also linked on the Cosmic Love webpage. It's a free download, and it goes into the archetypes in the collective consciousness as thought forms for the expansion of consciousness, and how these thought forms frame, you might say, the constitution of the holographic universe, and the first laws of physics, the first laws of spirit, and a place where science and religion meet. And this is a subject that Dr. John Harper goes into at length. He's one of the best way showers, as I mentioned, in this way. And if you have a chance to read the links and material on his book and the article that he sent, you'll find that it's extraordinary for affirming what you already know and layering that understanding in a dimensional way that, for me, it basically fleshed out, you might say, the body of God, geometrically ordered divinity, with an understanding between the lines that's just profound. So I'm going to go into some different aspects of what he talks about. And this is from the link, questions that show listeners may want answered from John J. Harper, which we do plan to have on at a future time. It just hasn't worked out yet. But this will whet your appetite, give you an opportunity to read excerpts from his book, and tune into this understanding of transformation through transformation and how that works. A quote from his book is by Stephen Walensky, Ph.D., from his book, Trance as People Live, Healing Approaches in Quantum Psychology. And that quote is that the phenomena of trance is viewed as self-generated, self-created reality that appears to happen to us. In fact, we discover that each self-created reality is comprised of a deep trance phenomena. And you can understand this phenomena, how people are aligned with core experiences from the past and the habits of repeating those core experiences, which can be core emotions, it can be core patterns of believing, thinking, feeling, and acting. And this creates, the habit itself is a form of trance, in the sense that you might say the dream that we live in, you know, our waking reality, is conditioned by our habits of believing, thinking, feeling, and acting, sometimes referred to as the four lower bodies of consciousness, the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. So that's one reference to this understanding of transformation through transformation. As you become conscious of how you are conscious, and you develop, you might say, an objective perspective on your habits of believing, thinking, feeling, and acting, that objective perspective can, you might say, reboot the program. Instead of just being in a dream, it's like stepping back from the dream. And as you become conscious of the pattern, you can reboot or change the pattern. You can transform the pattern. So that's kind of the keynote concept of transformation that he references. And he uses many quotes from these different leading luminary shamans of the 21st century. And I'll be going into some of those. And this is fascinating to me. And so this question I have with Dr. Harper is that if he agrees that the form of this cosmic law principles of the holographic universe, that this truly governs the uprising and the uprising, you might say, the ascent of consciousness. In both frequency and form, and that the harmonic resonance of a trance nature is the way that our DNA organizes all information in formation. In other words, if you understand the DNA as a transceiver, and they now know that what they used to call junk DNA, or 90% of the DNA they used to call junk DNA, they now know that it actually acts as a transceiver. It both receives and transmits a harmonic resonance dealing with these patterns of believing, thinking, feeling, and acting. And the expression there is, we are what we believe, we become what we believed, we are what we think, we become what we thought, we are what we feel, we become what we felt, and we are what we do, we become what we did. And the energetics of the entire body are networked with this DNA that imprints these patterns, these habits, and this creates our reality. I mean, we shape our consciousness, and then our consciousness shapes us. And so the understanding of stepping out of or getting an objective perspective of this process is the first stage in self-correcting our self-talk, you know, how we talk about ourselves, and in the same way how we talk about others, because quantum reality is that there's no separation. Thoughts have wings, and as we talk about others, we're really talking about our extended selves. So this is a way of understanding how the ordained power of love as a universal power that has extraordinary healing power in what's called a syntropy way of synergizing or integrating a higher understanding of how we are conscious. This has a way of neutralizing all the inordinate love of power within habits that will do anything for self-preservation of themselves. In other words, there's a force of syntropy for, you might say, integrating on a higher level, and there's a force of habit that is, might say, lowest common denominator maintenance of old habits and patterns, old paradigms, that are analogous to the lower R complex or reptilian brain in the base of the brain. And in the higher part of the brain, the third eye chakra, the third eye center, the pituitary gland, the master gland, is in the holographic brain. You know, the upper brain versus the lower brain is more centered and focused from a consciousness of how we are consciousness rather than just being consciousness and stuck in the dream state or stuck in the trance of a dream world or Maya or illusion, as they call it in the East, and in an instinctive way without thinking about it. So we all have this dynamic of either just like working out of the lower chakras of the body versus the three higher chakras above the heart, there's a frame of reference for all the energetics of the body within the brain. There's the upper brain, the lower brain, the left brain, the right brain, the forebrain, and the back brain. And you might say this three-dimensional frame of reference for the holographic universe within the brain is like a control central for the DNA of the whole body, and in a way of referencing relationships with everyone in the world. We can reference that through the internet, or we can reference that through prayer meditation and dynamic prayer fields that heal the collective consciousness. And this understanding is emerging. Quantum reality is showing more and more that there is no time or space, just as the internet has shown us the same thing. And as above, so below, as within, so without, there's this relationship going on within people and with the outer, just as there's relationships celestial that are interfacing with the energetics terrestrial. And I've gone into show numerous times about this celestial-terrestrial interface, as above, so below, the zero-point connection through 2012, as cosmogenesis brings in energies with the photon belt and planetary systems that are working like clockwork within our consciousness, whether we know it or not. And there's also this understanding of the process itself within our individual and collective consciousness that Dr. John J. Harper references in his book. So I'm going to go into this a little bit more from those questions I've asked John, which is basically an affirmation of what we already know and would like to understand further. And one of these questions is it true that trance is a way of shape-shifting dimensionally, like shifting gears in consciousness, with different processes of consciousness that shape the creative learning process for each individual, as well as the net reality of all connected humanity? Well, that question, for some people know that, some people understand that, the different processes of consciousness, you might say, shift gears, as you would shift gears in a car, shifting gears in consciousness, so you can process energy, information in different ways, in different levels, from going from details to the whole, from, you might say, linear consciousness to spherical consciousness, left brain to right brain, and from a third eye consciousness to a more, of an intuitive nature to a base of the brain consciousness of a more instinctive nature. This is what I'm referring to about shifting gears. It's like shifting dimensions. And that leads to another big question. If our consciousness is to self-correct in a creative learning process of evolutionary ascent, is not the language of consciousness for optimal gear shifting an important priority for each individual, as well as the net reality of all connected humanity? And of course, that ties in with a major theme in John J. Harper's book, that collected humanity is waking with the perceptual dimensional shift of consciousness towards the emergence of what is referred to as Christ consciousness on an accelerated 2012 era timeline for each individual, as well as the net reality of all connected humanity. And when I refer to the net reality of all connected humanity, again, I'm referring to not just the internet and the instant everywhere interactive connection that we all have through this new internet technology, but also our DNA. And as our DNA is being activated, as the strands of our DNA are reconnecting, and as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, creating new habits with a higher conscience. So let's see if we've got this right. A DNA is an interactive communications transceiver that connects the web of consciousness of all sentient life on Earth, as well as the interdimensional nature of all spirit life on Earth. This is what they're finding out. The research, some of which is referenced in the book Shamans of the 21st Century, that it's all connected, and that it is, you might say, reconnecting the neural networks in our brains, just as it's reconnecting the neural networks and social networks on the internet and in the collective consciousness of humanity. This web of consciousness is, you might say, DNA interactive with the web of nature that is governed by the form and frequency of universal cosmic laws. And as we become conscious of these laws and become conscious, these laws of consciousness, as we become conscious of how we are conscious, it's like conscious of how conscious is like C squared, as in Christ consciousness, or the equation equals MC squared, where all time and space become relatively non-existent, like the Instant Everywhere Interactive Internet. Now, I understand this is the zero-point phenomena through 2012 is accelerating, and I've got website links that that you can click on the articles on the zero-point phenomena if you haven't seen them with articles before. That link is also at the bottom of the Cosmic Love webpage. It's one of the recent articles on this. What is going on with the energetics of the planet through 2012? This is the shamans of the 21st century discussed this in many ways. And to me, there's nothing more interesting than understanding the dynamics, or you might say the coordinates of this big shift that's in process. And one of the best ways to understand this is the archetypes of the collective consciousness that Jung referred to. And I've got some really interesting quotes from John G. Harper's book, Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century, regarding these archetypes, and more specifically the article that I've linked that's available, and you can read that in the article I've got. Well, the latest article I've got linked at the bottom of the Cosmic Love page, which is called School Starts With All Thy Learning, Get Wisdom. And there's a link at the bottom of that page referencing the quotes from John J. Harper's article. From the article is called The Art of World War III. Now, that may not be what you think it is or what it sounds like. What he's referring to with the art of World War III is understanding, as shamans of the 21st century do, that the war is a spiritual, psychological warfare, more so. That what a lot of Christians refer to or think of as Armageddon, that's mostly the materialistic-oriented Christians think of as a physical World War III. But they don't understand this is a spiritual warfare of discernment, you know, the first gift of the Holy Spirit, that neutralizes dark side negativity rather than feeding into it with fear and doubt. And now there's many references to this understanding of what's going on through 2012 with these quotes that I've provided in these links, and this understanding of what the Hopi Indians and Native Indians refer to as the Great Purification, the Mayan calendar into 2012. And this understanding of the Great Purification some would refer to it as the judgment, but that's another way of saying the discernment. So you have this understanding of discerning the spirits, or a discerning spirit, that is like a two-edged sword that cuts through or cuts both ways. It exposes the big lie that we may have once believed was true, and it exposes the whole truth that we may have once believed was a lie. And this is the true nature of, you might say, Armageddon. And the quote that is quite often misunderstood by Christians because it sounds like a paradox is from Matthew in the King James Version, 10:34, when he says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword." Well, the key word for sword in the mysteries of God is an anagram. It's S word, sword. It stands for the sacred word, and the sacred word is like the Holy Spirit, it cuts through BS belief systems, BS belief. Either way, it cuts through like the two-edged sword. And clearly, there's no security without sacred purity. And it's kind of like the concept in the Hindu pantheon of understanding Shiva. Shiva is the deity that references the Holy Spirit, which is the creator and the destroyer. And it creates that which is whole in the Holy Spirit, and it destroys that which is less than whole. It's the same concept. It's like a two-edged sword. It cuts through the BS belief systems. I like to refer to it. So we've got this big phenomena going on right now with the elections. And the change is the buzzword that is being, you know, that Obama's referring to. And of course, that buzzword means the only permanent condition, change is the only permanent condition, without the ultimate understanding of survival as the survival of ultimate meaning, vision, and purpose. Change to what should be the question. The answer for self-elevation of a salvation nature is ultimately an awakening to those self-governing precepts of wholeness. The concept of wholeness, holiness, holistic, holographic, all are the same word derivative, being a HAL, it's an Anglo-Saxon word meaning sound or whole. And of course, when you're of sound body and whole mind, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And we're back to that same understanding of how you focus attention with pure intention on the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God, you might say. So there's an accelerated ascension of net reality going on in the collective consciousness in these terms. It's an awakening to the spirit that matters, discernment, the spirit of discernment that cuts through the BS and transcends willful ignorance. And you might say it's faith in a healing future that neutralizes fear, which is scared shiftless. And so we have the dynamic of faith versus fear. And this is the subject of the mass bipolar disorder in the collective consciousness that we're seeing right now with Armageddon. When I say Armageddon, again, I'm referring to this awakening process that's going on that's bringing up all that's less than light. The more light, the more awareness, the more consciousness acceleration and raising and uprising that goes on, then the more it hits the wall of entrenched stuckness, that's scared shiftless. And so you've got this dynamic going on in the elections where you've got one party talking about change and hope and faith in a future that we all want to create, you know, a better future, and you've got another party that talks about security with fear. Of course, there's no security without purity, and purity is by nature, you know, the faith that transcends all fear. True faith. So you've got this dynamic with the two parties going on now, and it's really amazing to see what's going on the world stage. One of the articles that it's linked at the bottom of the Cosmic Love webpage that you can click on, and I've upgraded several times now over the last 2 weeks, is dealing with what happened when the Olympics began, and you might say the power elite Olympics, at the same day the Olympics began with their superpower Olympics, you might say, with what went on in Georgia, with Russia and the U.S. through its proxy country, Georgia, and what is being portrayed in the media and what in fact really happened. And there's a lot of really good articles that are referenced that I've linked by different leading, you might say, political shamans of the 21st century. There's about 7 different articles there, as well as an overview, and it's largely discussing this key dynamic, you might say, the bipolar disorder that's going on with this fear versus faith, the split, you might say, in the psyche and in the parties, and playing the left side against the right. And what's going to transpire with all this, of course, is everyone's hopeful discernment and judgment along more enlightened lines. Now, framing those lines is largely what Dr. Harper talks about in his book, Shamans of the 21st Century. He has some great quotes, and I like his references to Joseph Campbell, who, according to journalist Bill Moyers, is one of the most spiritual men I have ever met in my life, but he didn't have a religious bone in his body. And the difference, of course, between true spirituality and religious belief refers to the bipolar disorder in the collective consciousness of mankind at this point in cosmic history. It's trying to live as mankind, trying to live as kind men. And you might say it's a difference between what people know is right and wrong via whole brain discernment and the divided, compartmentalized belief systems of the left and right that both lack discernment. So, and I play around with this concept of bipolar disorder a lot. You might say split in the psyche of the collective consciousness. But there's two ways of understanding the word bipolar. Usually we think of it as a split and a division. But the true meaning of bipolar is two in one. Bipolar means the core essence is whole, but the bipolar gives a negative connotation to the two in one, and this is compared to the word duality, which is a clear separation. There's the concept of bipolar. True understanding of bipolar, you might say the Earth is bipolar. We got a North Pole and a South Pole, but it's still one Earth. In the same way with consciousness. The word is used egregiously, bipolar, in the understanding of consciousness and the understanding of relationships. I mean, you can say all marriages between a man and a woman are bipolar. One's feminine and one's masculine, and it's still one marriage. But at the same time, bipolar disorder is referencing, ultimately or classically, it's a lack of harmony or a lack of love, and that's the classic example of what's going on in the world right now. There's an increase of light and energy, and you might say transformation. In the energy grids of the Earth and the energy grids of consciousness going on with more light, and light brings up all unlike itself. Even though, and this is part of the classic challenge of more light, even though the light shines in the darkness and the darkness comprehendeth it not, which is a scripture reference I think it's John 1:5, but anyway, we have this difference or differentiation between organized religion, which is like politically correct belief system of a groupthink rigidity, and it's like the letter of the law that kills the spirit of the law. It's this inflexibility of organized religion versus true spirituality that tries to hold the line or the status quo, fear of change, against true spirituality. And I reference that with geometric thought forms as the linear consciousness of the left brain, linear left brain, letter of the law, or letter of the logos, of the logic, versus nonlinear spherical consciousness of the right brain. And when you get into the holographic universe, there's that understanding of the right hemisphere of the Earth. The Orientals have a more of a spherical nonlinear consciousness that's inscrutable to the left brain logic of Western civilization. And so it goes with the universal laws of the holographic universe, as within, so without, as in the world, so in our own consciousness in our left and right brain. and the balancing of this for each individual and for civilization as a whole is a huge dynamic that is largely governed either in an uprising and uprising fashion through faith, hope, and charity, you might say, or in a downward spiral of fear and doubt that causes an inversion, subversion, and perversion of faith in the lower brain, or the reptilian brain, or the instinctive fight or flight R complex of the reptilian brain. So we've all got this dynamic going on within us. Then my expression is, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you know. Or when there's times when we're more conscious, we have more energy, we're fresh, and things are so clear. And other times, when we lack energy, and my expression is more frustration, there's more frustration born of fatigue than any other factor. And so many of us, so many people that are in the rat race, so to speak, are working so hard that their energy is so dissipated that they're so sick and tired of being sick and tired that they're too sick and tired to cut through with the sacred word or the sacred consciousness, you might say, to be clear on what's real or what is real. And it's an abstract to talk about for that state of consciousness. It's an abstract to talk about the gathering of the tribes of all that is real in God love, divine love, universal law, language love, consciousness. I keep doing that, of course, because I can't think of anything better to do. And there is a principle of space repetition, that there are principles of perfection, even though who's perfect? I mean, you know, but I've always believed that you can speak of perfection without being perfect. And that's largely what John J. Harper does in his book, Transformers, the Shamans of the 21st Century. He's got many individuals who have a perfect understanding of this quantum shift, this quantum reality. And even though language is sometimes, with its symbols of symbols, sometimes twice removed from the truth, at the same time, you get the picture when you get a spaced repetition of what these different gurus or light bearers or luminaries and shamans have to say about what's going on with our quantum reality and the big shift. So some of the quotes I've got from John J. Harper's book and that article that I've got linked there with that School Starts article at the bottom of Cosmic Love. Here's one in particular. He says, what we are living to live and die for provides the mirror image to our bipolar state of mind. It speaks to the level of consciousness that we are currently experiencing. I mean, a CEO that gets ulcers upon reading a stock market report is a far cry from the tranquility displayed by the Dalai Lama as he confronts China over Tibet. And another quote he's got from that article is, "Our mission is a hero's journey, and we should accept it. Call us down to hunt down and unmask the self-fulfilling doom and gloom prophecies and slay them without mercy. However, to do so, one must have the courage of a warrior, initially be able to tolerate the tug of war, the attention innate within the polarized opposites of creation and the fears that they create within us." So if the best way to create the future or predict, excuse me, if the best way to predict the future is to create it, then this is the path of the warrior, to be able to tolerate the tug of war and the tension that's innate within the polarized opposites of creation and the fears that they create within us. And referencing this fears is one of my favorite quotes by Marianne Williamson, where she says, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. And we ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, or fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us. It is in everyone. And as we can let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Now, this is a quote that the reason I love it, because this quote references the dynamic that's going on in the collective consciousness of humanity. As one individual is liberated from the fear, from their own fears, their presence automatically liberates others. And as this movement of being liberated from terror war and the creation and management of terror and tyranny for maintaining the status quo, as we are liberated from that, one individual, the expression I like is one in God is the majority. In other words, one person that's all connected and whole resonates with the wholeness with another individual's and floats all boats, you might say. And there's some other quotes here. One of the quotes is from the book called The Great Field, and it is, our mission is to become centered in order to serve the creation by reconnecting to the Creator, the zero-point field of life. Speaking to this realization, life scientist John James, Ph.D., confirms that the field is the superstratum of all creation, the all-pervasive, all-inclusive essence from which all is created and within which all exists. It is as close to the meaning of God as we get. Excuse me. So that's as close to the meaning of God as a unified field theorist gets anyway. Now, there's another idea here that if a critical mass of peacemakers can come together, all puns intended, in the world population in era 2012, excuse me, then this will trigger a worldless, telepathic, global, whole-brain society. This will allow open, honest, as well as instantaneous communication with each other and with other beings within the cosmos at large. Now, this is already going on with a lot of indigos and a lot of people that have opened their third eye or who basically have opened the veil. And it's a dynamic that's going to be accelerating and increasing. There's another quote here. John Van Enwick, Ph.D., clinical supervisor at the medical school at the University of Washington, wrote an extremely insightful book, Archetypes and Strange Attractors, The Chaotic World of Symbols. The theme is that archetypes, as Carl Jung envisioned them 100 years ago, were akin to instincts. They were alive, formed, and informed the building blocks of consciousness, but remained unconscious until a person was self-realized, or as Jung called it, individuated. They had restored their memory of God incarnating within them. Now, if you understand the concept of God as, you know, G-O-D, as geometrically ordered divinity, and if you understand how geometric thought forms can be used for the expansion of consciousness, it's a small leap to understand how when he says akin to instincts, the instincts are the habits of again, how we believe, think, feel, and act. They're the conditioned programming that as we become conscious of how we're conscious, these building blocks of consciousness, we become more self-realized, or as I'll call it, individuated. And you might say we become God-conscious, or that God is incarnating within them. And this incarnation of God-consciousness, or the internalization of God-consciousness, in terms of the processes of consciousness, the learning process, the creative process, the linear left brain processes, the spherical right brain consciousness, the trinity processes of the creative process, the thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. There's this process with the trinity goes on with the left brain and right brain in both the lower brain and the upper brain. Instinct is more analogous to the lower brain, where we're unconscious of how we're conscious. And intuition is more aligned with the third eye or the upper brain, where we become more conscious of how we are conscious. And this is the process that Jung referred to as being self-realized or individuated. So these are the geometry of archetypes, of course, that I referred to in the Love Model. I have numerous links on that on the Cosmic Love webpage. So I thought I'd reference these quotes that's in that article, School Starts, because it's starting for a lot of people. Got a couple sons in college, and across the country, there's this, you might say in the collective consciousness, this is a timely subject. And I thought what I would do is reference a few more of these quotes. If anyone wants to call in and have a question, again, you can call in toll free at 877-876-5227. And in the meantime, I'll go ahead with some of these quotes. Here's some notable quotables from Shamans of the 21st Century. This is by Dr. Doug Baker. The opening of, from his book, The Opening of the Third Eye, he says, "The third eye is an organ of inner vision. Our physical senses look before us, seeing past nor future. But the third eye embraces eternity." And that's this, what I refer to as the spherical consciousness that's truly spiritual. It's not on a linear timeline from the past, the present, to the future. It embraces the infinite and the eternal here and now. Another quote here from Claude Swanson, PhD, from The Synchronized Universe, A New Science of the Paranormal. He says that entering deep meditation states causes a synchronization of the vibrations of the DNA in the body, and it is very likely that this is one of the keys to psychic superpowers. Phase resonance, or phase, acts like a fifth dimensional, like a fifth dimension, which distinguished one parallel reality, one universe, from another. And this, again, gets into the dimensionality of our vibrations and our DNA and the synchronization of those vibrations. Another quote, this is a really neat quote from Rick Strassman, MD, who did the book DMT, The Spirit Molecule, A Doctor's Revolutionary Research into the Biology of Near-Death and Mystical Experiences. He says, "When our individual life force enters our fetal body, the moment at which we become truly human, it passes through the pineal gland and triggers the first primordial flood of DMT. As we die, the life force leaves the body through the pineal gland, releasing another flood of this psychic spirit molecule." This is referencing, again, the biochemistry of DMT, the spirit molecule, as relates to the bioenergetics of the different glands. In this case, the pineal gland, which is sometimes referred to as, that corresponds to the crown chakra. So, and then one of my favorite authors that's referenced, several times in Transformers of the 21st Century is Dr. Bruce H. Lipton, where he says, "We are the biology of our beliefs. So are you ready to co-create a whole new worldview, knowing that reality is what you make it?" Which is back to the point of the best way to create the future or predict the future is to create it. So reality is what you make it. It's the habits of believing, thinking, feeling, and acting. And there's a lot of other quotes here from the book, Shamans of the 21st Century. We're going to be wrapping it up here shortly, and we've got kind of a keynote meditation that you can listen to here at the end of the show. And in the meantime, I think maybe I can get in one more quote here. One thing John J. Harper says is that we are programmed to become butterflies, not remain caterpillars. And another quote from Dr. Bruce H. Lipton writes that if you make, this is from an article, if you make the rules, how come you're not the boss? He says that perhaps junk DNA contains all the secrets of the universe, including those unconscious potentials you have yet to discover. Perhaps it is this DNA that allows you to travel without your body into starry realms. Maybe that is where you go in your dreams. Quite possibly intuition, psychic powers, and remote viewing, non-local information gathering, fall into this realm of this amazing communications channel. Perhaps with a relaxed mind, you can tap into the prime DNA alphabet soup for transport. It's absolutely fascinating to consider. And this is another reference to the DNA by Ph.D. Arnold Mindel from his book, The Dream Maker's Apprentice. He says, "The larger truth is that DNA can shape-shift us back and forth from our spiritual mental body to our physical body at the blink of our third eye right now." Says it is my belief that each of us is potentially a modern shaman. That means we must be able to personally experience the theories and ideas in these sciences. Only then can we participate in the future of physics and psychology. They depend upon our exploration of the mysteries of shamanistic perception and the ability to move between worlds. So that's a pretty good overview of some of the quotes, and that's from that section on the questions and question and answer part at the top of the Cosmic Love webpage. There's a link, and you can read those there at that link. And there's some other I believe are extraordinary quotations from the book. If you go to the homepage of Cosmic Love, you'll be able to find those links. There's several of them at the top. We're up here. So thanks for listening, and check out the links. If you have some questions, get back to me, and we'll cover them in another show. Have a good one. Bye-bye.